Before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible. Now on to the show. On the show today, we have PSEU's very own Tom Pierce and Advisors Plus's very own Norm Patrick. They're both here once again to share with us details and findings and discoveries from the 2023 Eye on Payment study, their sixth one over the years. And we're happy to have Tom and Norm here to fill us in. So check it out. Welcome to CEU Broadcast. Welcome back to our show. And on today's program, look who we have back in the studio lounge. Fine folks from PSCU and Advisors Plus. Right next to me, speaking of Advisors Plus, is Norm Patrick from Advisors Plus. Norm, how are you, sir?
Doing great, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing great. Doing great. Thank you for asking. And then right below us is Tom Pierce from PSCU. Tom, how are you today, sir?
Good to see you, Mike. Great to be back again to talk about Eye on Payments.
I know. It's that time of the year again, guys. It's the 2023 Eye on Payment study. You guys just released that. And Tom, I'm going to let you kind of kick it off here. Just give us a quick overview on what it's all about. Just maybe there's one or two people who may not be too familiar with it. And then maybe some logistics that you guys went through. And then we'll talk about some key findings, which will be really exciting. So yeah. So Tom, the stage is yours, sir.
Thank you, Mike. So yes, this is basically our sixth annual Eye on Payment study. Each year we survey about 750 consumers, both credit union members and bank customers, kind of gauging their preferences around payments in different settings, how they may have evolved those payment preferences from the previous year, what new types of payment forms are starting to use. And it's really been a great gauge for us to be able to kind of showcase to the credit unions where they need to be focusing their energies for future development to support their members' needs.
Yeah, indeed. And it helps you guys. Yeah, of course. And better serve them. And then the credit unions can also, I think it's kind of a two-way street because you guys obviously work hand in hand with the credit unions on, hey, you know, what are the trends and how can we best serve our members in these areas? Because payments, as you guys well know, it almost changes by the minute. So it's just, it's
really a key driver of credit union engagement.
Indeed. Oh my gosh. So true. So true. So let's dive right into it. I mean, let's talk about some of the key findings here. We don't have to talk about all of them. We'll obviously have a link in the show notes too for folks to get to the whole study at hand, but maybe share a couple of key findings. Tom, I'm going to stick with you on maybe a couple, and then Norm, you can share some as well. So Tom, share with me a couple of your favorites, your favorite key findings.
Yeah, we can kind of pass it back and forth, which is good. So I'll talk first about mobile. So
okay.
Mobile wallets have really kind of become mainstay in terms of the consumer expectation at the point of sale. We had nearly 4 in 10 respondents this year, so they desire to use a wallet from time to time at the point of sale. And when you look at the younger audiences, about a third of millennials and Gen Zers are actually using a mobile wallet multiple times a week at the point of sale, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. And look at that overall tap and go type. So do you consider mobile, contactless, wearables? They've actually overtaken consumers' desire to use that EMV chip at the point
really?
Of sale.
Wow.
So a lot of this, of course, was driven by the pandemic, but it's stuck afterwards. And I think it's also been impactful as more terminals out there at the point of sale are more visibly showing that they can take a contactless type of payment or a mobile payment. It's becoming more mainstream. And that's where credit unions have to continue to educate their members on these capabilities and provide the tools for them. Members to use them as well. So
yeah, I find when I travel, I'm using more mobile stuff. I mean, I have an Apple Watch and I have Apple Pay on, and of course my credit union card is top of watch. But I find that I use this a lot when I travel. I mean, almost like probably 90% of the time I'm using that. So that's really come in handy, especially when you're on the road. So yeah, totally get that that trend as well. Norm, you want to share maybe a key finding or two from your perspective?
Yeah, interestingly, you know, from a generational perspective, when you look at the younger end through Gen Z and the older end through the boomers, the gap is widening so much in terms of preference. You know, for example, 96% of boomers, per our study, they prefer the traditional payment methods, and actually debit has crept into the lead as the top preferred payments method for the boomer segment. But again, 96% stay traditional. Then you go to the other end and look at the Gen Zers. They still continue to be very debit heavy, but intuitively it makes sense. But they are the ones who are out there using the mobile wallets and the different P2P type of methods. And then when it comes to variety, you know, using all different types of methods, whether they're card-based, whether it's mobile, whether it's using the P2P methods such as Venmo and Zelle and others, we have 80% of Gen Zers who use them across the spectrum, whereas only 42% of boomers are going beyond their most preferred payment method. So very entrenched on the older end, but a lot more. On the younger end, so that we found that pretty interesting.
And it's interesting that debit is still kind of percolating toward the top, because I remember during the pandemic, debit was king, you know, and then credit kind of disappeared. And then once things kind of subsided, then credit started coming back. What are you guys finding there? I mean, that's kind of an off the wall question here, but did you guys see any differences there as far as debit and credit?
Yeah, it's been interesting over the years where with certain segments, you know, such as the younger segments, they've always historically been entrenched in debit. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, given the economy, particularly over the past 12 months, we have beginning to see some deceleration on the credit side and people tending to spend more with the money that they have versus borrowing through the credit card.
Yeah,
the economy meanders, so does the usage patterns.
Yeah, isn't that up like, isn't it like $1 trillion now or something like that?
We are back up over 1.2 trillion, I believe, at this point. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's a whole nother show. On the study at hand here. Tom, any other key findings you want to share, or you want to dive into the next one?
I'll talk a little bit about, you know, each year we kind of look at a few of the emerging payment types. Yeah. And just a couple to highlight there from this year. So buy now, pay later, you know, that's continuing to get more coverage, more interest out there. We saw it in the study as well, you know, of those who responded, credit union members, if their credit unions were offering buy now, pay later, 75% said they were likely to try it, which is pretty impressive of those that offer it. And folks are still using, you know, those outside services like Klarna and Affirm. Mm-hmm. A third of folks are using those types of services out there in the markets. But buy now, pay later is something that credit unions clearly have to be able to look to offer, because it's become a mainstay payment form now that people are expecting. And then the world of crypto. So we ask about crypto again this year, and there's been a lot of negative press, you know, about crypto, but there's still interest out there. Mm-hmm. We actually saw about a 25% increase of folks that say they held crypto. So it went up from 19% in 2022 to 23%. Still only about a fifth of the folks out there, but there has been an increase coming of folks back holding crypto despite all the negative press.
Yeah, it's coming back, Tom. I tell you, I've been talking to more and more people about it, and they say it's not going to be like that tidal wave that hit, you know, of a few years ago, but it's going to start creeping back. And before you know it, yeah, it'll be back for sure. So yeah, so I'm very interested to see how that goes as well. So that's a good finding there. So what were some of the key differences in payment preferences? We talked about the generations as well, but any other differences that you guys want to talk about? Because we already talked about debit, credit, generational, anything else out there?
Normally, I want to talk a little bit about some of the new digital innovations there.
Please do.
Yeah. That's been an interesting topic as well, around with Apple Savings, how that began to some inroads, you know, during the time of the study this year, as well as the P2P methods that are out there. When it comes to familiarity, again, we're looking at consumers broad base, not just Apple customers, but, you know, 50% of those who were surveyed, they have heard of or actually have the Apple Card or the Apple Savings account. And of those who are aware of it, 46% of those either plan to open one or will be opening one here in the next 6 months. So really, they've a splash with it. And again, we're looking at not just Apple customers, but also those who use Samsung devices on the Android side as well. Looking at the P2P payment methods, again, you know, going through Venmo, Zelle, and others, what we found is we've increased awareness and activity of that around 18% since 2021. And the really interesting nugget that comes from that is 57% of the Gen Zers that we surveyed, they either use those methods regularly, or get this, they use it as a primary payment method of moving funds back and forth. Absolutely.
Oh, wow.
That has implications for credit unions, where if you're moving funds back and forth through Venmo or Zelle. They're not necessarily within the bounds of the institution.
Interesting,
so
interesting.
Very, very interesting finding there.
Yeah. And I want to go back to the Apple Card because I mean, I'm sure you guys saw the latest news about how they're pulling back from Goldman Sachs. Okay, what's going to happen there? So that's going to be a kind of an interesting a bit of a news and a trend going into the new year as well. So it's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen. Like I said, you know, things are happening so fast in payments. This just happened within the last 48 hours or so. So, oh my gosh.
Yep.
Incredible. Yep. Incredible. So, but you guys are obviously on top of this stuff. Tom, looks like you want to add something there as well.
Well, one of the areas I want to talk about is kind of an interesting surprise finding we had from this year, which
please
was intriguing. So, last year, one of our credit union CEOs, a board member, said, you know what? You really haven't asked in Iron Payments about card design. Does it really have an impact?
Card design?
What card people choose to use.
Yeah.
So we threw in a few questions around that this year, and I talked before about mobile and the importance of mobile and the turn towards that, but almost 4 in 10 credit union members said that card design, so whether it's the type of material that's used, what's on the card, influences what card they choose to use.
Yeah.
Could be an affinity program.
Yeah.
And it has a bigger impact. This is what's surprising with the mobile wallet side amongst youngest consumers. They like to choose the card they want to use based on how it looks. Now, I can tie this back to, I'll tell a little personal story on this front. Sure. So I've talked about my four daughters. They're you know, in their early to mid to late 20s right now. We've got four in that range. We still equip them with emergency credit card just to have in case of emergencies. They're on their own and so forth.
Right.
But they have a Disney card, and they pick out what they want on their Disney card, and they refer to that card as my Elsa card or my Tinkerbell card. But they know it as that. They ask, can I use Tinkerbell for this? So there's clearly awareness of that look on the cards, and we showed this year in the results that despite the growth of mobile wallets, that card design aspect does have an impact. So credit unions need to be conscious of what they're doing in terms of whether it's eco-friendly, that's driving some consumers' demands there. So just don't forget the card is the message here. So
that's a fun. I'm glad you mentioned that, Tom, because CFCU, Community Financial Credit Union, up in Michigan, Tansley Stearns is the present CEO there.
Yes,
I just had her on that. We were just talking this morning, but they have a local artist who is putting his designs on their credit cards, and they're very popular. So I totally get what you're saying there. So it's a pretty interesting. And speaking of, I mean, like, isn't the Apple Card, isn't that made out of like titanium or something like that? It's like some sort of metal or something like that. Or
yes.
So
yes.
it's amazing. But I can totally get how that could be a total attraction there for sure. So what are some of the key takeaways based on, besides how a card looks or how it feels or what it looks like, that type of stuff, but what are some of the key takeaways from this year's study that credit unions can leverage to better serve their members? Obviously, it sounds like debit is still running strong. Obviously, credit is up there. So what are some key takeaways? Norm, you want to go first on this one?
Well, I think probably one of the biggest ones, this is a recurring theme over the years, you know, as things tend to go more digital, as things tend to look a little bit different on how you engage, and knowing that there's all these generational differences, and even across those generations, there's certain levels of engagement with, you know, say mobile apps and digital banking overall. It's all different based on those generations, mm-hmm. and it's coming down to keeping people comfortable with using those types of methods. So education, that is absolutely huge. One of the questions in the survey kind of measured that for us, and if 51% of the respondents on that said, if the credit union was to give us more educational resources, we would definitely use that if it was provided to them.
Wow. Okay.
So they're asking for it. I think they need it. So we got to get them up to par on their level of comfort. Yeah. And again, it's just a real big opportunity to raise that comfort level, ease concerns of fraud. You know, credit union has your back in all those cases, and you know, let's make it happen.
Indeed. So, Tom, any takeaways for you?
Yeah, I'll do my big three: innovate. So, you know, we talk about all of these new emerging payment types, and I know it's challenging right now from a liquidity standpoint out there in the industry, and it's easy for credit unions to want to shift dollars away from investing in technology, just, you know, to focus on lending in other areas. But they need to keep that focus on innovating their payment types, because if they don't, their members are going to turn to other institutions that will offer those. We know that the big banks and the other fintechs that are coming out are offering a lot of these cool solutions that they want to have from a payment form. Credit unions have to keep investing in this innovation area and working with both ISU and others to make sure that they have the latest and greatest payment capabilities that their members want.
Yeah. Are you talking like things like FedNow, real-time payments, that type of stuff?
Yeah, that's definitely a growth opportunity. But you know, even if we talk about investing in buy now, pay later, a lot of credit unions have not turned that type of capability on at this standpoint.
Yeah.
Making sure they're equipped on a mobile wallet. Some of these basic mainstays, a lot of credit unions still haven't turned to those. So it's critical to make sure they're innovating if they're not going to lose their members.
No doubt. Yeah. Yeah. You got to constantly keep the foot on the gas pedal of the innovation gas pedal, that is for sure. So yeah, don't ever stop doing that stuff. All right, gentlemen, anything else here to add to wrap? I know we could talk for hours on this type of stuff because there's so much in this year's study and the payments environment changes so fast, but any final thoughts here to wrap up, Tom?
Well, I would just suggest that folks, if they want to take the opportunity, go to the PSU.com website, download the white paper, a lot more information than what we shared today, a lot more takeaways, always interesting reading, and we get a lot of great feedback from our credit unions and others throughout the industry on the results.
Yep.
And another quick plug is that this is really our payment preferences, but we also each month produce what's called the PSU Payments Index, which is a real-time dive into how consumers are actually transacting. And it's always interesting to compare the two results because sometimes the preferences that they say they will do something, they actually do something else when we see the transactions happen. So always fun to look at the comparisons there.
Yeah, I love looking at the two each, especially the monthly report that is so very timely, obviously. So Norm, anything else? Excuse me, Norm, anything else to add to wrap up here?
No, I think from my perspective, I think it's great for everybody to get out and take a look at the reports and review them ongoing and, knowing what an interesting year 2024 is going to be with the economy, keep tabs of this type of research and incorporate it into your business strategies. It's we're here for you.
Indeed. Indeed. Yeah. I'll put all the links in the show notes so people can get right to you guys and the study as well. And I still have to agree. I totally agree with you. What you said at the top of the show, Tom, is that payments is the best way to keep your members engaged on a consistent basis almost like on a daily basis to your credit union. So yeah, this is very, very important stuff here. So, and we appreciate all the work that you guys do in putting this together each and every year. So we always enjoy this talk and enjoy delivering the message as well. So keep up the good work, guys. Well done.
Thank you, Mike. Great to see you again.
Great to see you guys as well. And we'll see more of you in 2024 as well.
Yes, sir. Hopefully in person too.
In person too. All right, guys. Be well and look forward to the next chat.
Thank you.
Thank you.
A quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible.